You're listening to The Dan Nichols Show.
This week on The Dan Nichols Show, a voice of somewhat weary resignation as I kick off, because I've been waiting to get this going for about an hour and a half, because my guest arrived at the entrance to the Cape Grace, where we find ourselves filming, and it's taken that long for him to pose for every selfie, to shake every hand, to sidestep one or two child support lawyers, and to make his way into the lifts and up to the third floor to my sweeping penthouse, which he tells me reminds him of the spare room in the guest cottage at the house he owns overlooking the Atlantic seaboard, because such is the life of Cape Town's radio aristocracy. He is somebody I've listened to with great delight over the years, watched enviously as he hosts audiences in the palm of his hand, and I'm very grateful to have him on the show. Carl Wastey, welcome.
Thank you so much, Dan. There was an intro that was...
Now, we rehearsed that 11 times.
I'm glad.
As per your script.
Thank you very
much. And I hope you're okay with it.
It's all right. No. That worked. You want to go again?
On the Dan Nichols Show. Welcome. It's a delight to have you on, and great to have you here for many reasons. But I think the chief one is that you and I do share a great passion. And it's one that I really do miss, because although I get to do lots of cool media around the world, lots of great television... My starting point was radio, and it wasn't UCT radio, although that's where I then ended up, where a lot of South African radio presenters have come from. But my initial radio career, and this is very high-tech stuff, was sitting in my bedroom in the town of Marandera in rural Zimbabwe, listening to the BBC World Service's Sports Roundup from 4 till 4:15 on shortwave radio, scribbling down the news, because this was pre-internet, writing the bullet points out into a script, and then running down to the school office to fax said scripts through to Radio 3 in Harare, and from 5 until 6, Parky and Poz's sports show live at 5 was headlined by the sports stories I had cribbed off BBC Radio and sent through to be national sports news headlines for the evening.
I didn't know that about you. That's incredible. I love when people share their radio stories with me. It's the best thing ever. And knowing a bit more about you now in that way, it makes me respect you even more. And I mean, I've always valued you a lot more than you value yourself. I know you call yourself Dan Nickel. For me, you're Dan Dollar. And like, but to be honest with you, you are such an incredible person. I've watched you do your thing. And I know this is not a compliment Dan show, but I've watched you, I've been at events that you've emceed, etc. And I can tell that there's a lot of hard work there. And that's the thing about our industry, is that people don't realize that you had to do that. You had to wake up that early in the morning to get to where you are on those big stages. That didn't come through by luck. So I have mad respect for you.
Well, I think it's mostly electric good looks and a firm commitment to the gym, which you've got me to where I am. But we'll take your one as well, and thank you for that. But it is infectious, and I think as much as you enjoy doing it, once radio gets under your skin, it is impossible to get it out. And while it's not something I'm able to do with where I am now, whenever I do get to jump onto a show, for instance, I don't know, a KFM drive show I've never been invited on, the joy of being on that platform, there is a sense of community to being on radio, and also the element, and you pull it off a lot as well, because we have a similar sense of humor in some ways, is that sense of there is no visual. And so you can play around with stuff that's clearly absolutely ridiculous, but because people can't actually see, you can get away with it. And it becomes this space that's, it's theater and it's passion, and it's a great deal of fun.
It is indeed. Theater of the mind is something that a lot of people thought died with radio becoming so visual. You know, we have cameras in the studio, we have to post our clips of what we do, but the foundation is audio. And I think that's such a great place to color in. Whether you throw in a pun or a bit of humor or a little sound effect, etc., I think you're still coloring it in for the audience when they're driving in their vehicle. They can't check out the visual. They can't see what's happening. So even as a presenter, you've got to present in a lot more. Your visual language has to be up there so that people can be immersed. Show them references, but then just refer to them while you're telling a story. I love that about radio. And that's the thing. I think that radio is coloring in life for people, and that's why I love it so much.
And you'll understand that theater of the mind better than most, because you are on the show as both a superstar of the radio airwaves, but also a failed psychologist, because
that's right.
That was going to be, that was the original path. That's what Carl Wastey was going to do.
Yeah, that was originally the path. You know, it could actually still be my path. I've always wanted to be somebody who was
in
that space.
I think it still is, in fairness, because I think there is, you were an afternoon shrink for so many people.
I am.
That's what a good radio presenter really is.
Yes, that's it. But when I set out to study, I mean, this is at UCT, there was a story before that I think people, once again, you know, you speak about your stories of Harare, and I think about my story about getting into radio. I didn't want to do radio. It wasn't on my cards. I just wanted to get through what I was going through at home and then get some money to study. That was the only thing that was focusing on. And just to take you back for a little bit, I was in matric. My parents got divorced. I had to find some money because obviously in the divorce, it's very tough. And a lot of money was kind of, you know, split 50-50 in that particular scenario. So I had to find a way. And then I took a gap year. My mom wasn't working. My younger brother was still in the house. My older brother was studying architecture, but he had to move out. So I had to be the man of the house. So that's when I did all the jobs that I did. I used to coach water polo and football at my old high school. I worked in a video shop as well, where I met some incredible people. I sold UPSs, uninterruptible power supplies, before load shedding became a problem. I was selling those things. And there were a bunch of different jobs that I did, but it was in that video shop where the real journey began for me, when I started to look at what I wanted to do. And psychology was big for me because I was going through a lot of those things. I was fielding a lot of the psychological trauma from my father and my mom and myself, and it's weird, I was the middle child, and I just felt like I needed to take emotional responsibility for everybody, and that was the biggest downfall for me. So I think the best way for me to cure that was to study psych and see what is going on. But with no cash, I met somebody in that video shop that I was working in that gave me a bursary to study at UCT, and I did my degree in psychology and organizational psychology, and that's when the undergrad story began. But while I was doing that, that's when another video shop customer came to me and said, "Carl, you'd make a great MC." And he was the entertainment manager at a local casino. So I started working there in the clubs and just doing the normal announcements. And I didn't know what I was doing. Everybody that I saw doing it was just going, "Single ladies, put your hands up. Shake it down right now. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be breaking it down. Show me love. Romanes, let's go." Like, that was... I thought that was the benchmark. That's what you had to do.
Speaking fluent Good Hope FM.
That's the... Oh, well, that's actually, you know, that's where the story began for radio. You know, that was it. And when that happened and I got my degree, I recall doing an event and Good Hope FM was actually there at that event. And that's when the story began getting into the industry, because one of those Good Hope FM staff members were at the event that I was emceeing. I then had to hand over my microphone to one of their DJs to do a party. And then before I left, he said, "Why don't you get into radio?" And I said, "No, I'm going to do my honors in psychology at UCT next
year." "I'm Dr. Wastey. I'm not doing anything as blue collar as radio."
So that's what at the door, and I'm like, "No, I can't do that." Also, I was working so many jobs. It was really tough to be balancing all of that. And then I recall I got bored at work on the Monday thereafter, and I was like, "You know, this guy gave me an email address. Let me just email him." So I emailed this guy who was the program manager and still is of Good Hope at the moment. His name's Gerard. And I emailed him and I said, "Hey, you know, one of your people said I should send a mail and ask for a voice test." And he's like, "Okay, no problem. Come in tomorrow." I'm like, "What? What? Why tomorrow? What do you mean?" I thought this is like a process. You know. And then I said, "Okay, let's do it." So I asked for leave. And then I went all the way, took a taxi all the way through to the SABC, I recall. And then they first thing they tell me, and it's just the most annoying thing anybody can ask you, "So, Carl, tell us a joke, man." And it's like, "Oh, come on." And then I shared my story at the time. I shared about how many jobs I was doing. I shared about the struggles with my, you know, my mom and my brother, and being the man of the house and being the breadwinner for such a long time. And they recorded all of that. And I will never forget that it was the Thursday where I got messaged. And I recall the program manager says to me, "Can you stand in for sport? You said you coach water polo and football, so you know sport." I'm like, what? What? What do you mean? Yes, I know water polo and I know football, but like, there's a lot of other sporting codes there that I need to cover as a sport presenter. And I had to stand in for this guy called Mark Marshall at the time. And he was off. I had to jump in. And it was just amazing because Tracy Lang was the news presenter at the time, and I was the sport presenter. That's where I met Tracy and started the career in radio. And I recall doing a lot of stand-ins and then saying to the city of Cape Town who gave me my bursary. Is there a way that I can do a gap year to see where this goes? And then I want to restart, if you don't mind. And they were fine with it. So I said, hey, I can explore. But it got really inconsistent for stand-ins and it wasn't sustainable anymore. And I recall going to the same guy, Gerard, and saying to him, thank you so much for the opportunity. I don't think that radio is for me. And I'm going to part ways because I got a job in the newspaper. Dan, there was a company that sold these devices called Kirby's. They were 12,000 rand vacuum cleaners. And in the, on the ad, it said 20,000 rand basic, and that would have changed my entire life. I was so excited. I was like, okay, this is going to be it. And it's consistent. It's monthly. And I'll never forget that. Going to the interview, and the guy, the interviewer, had heard me on the radio standing in. And he's like, he looked at me like, why are you here? So I was like, no, just, you know, I need something consistent, so that's why I'm here. And he gave me the job on the spot. He didn't even ask any more questions. He's like, you'll be perfect to sell Kirby's. I didn't see the fine print. I didn't see what was expected. You had to sell 3 Kirby's per month to get your basic salary. But selling 3 Kirby's a month at the time, 12,500 rand. But you know, there's so many other items on the market that were a lot cheaper. So that was a problem. However, I said to my boss, like, that's my job now. Thank you very much for the opportunity on radio. I'm out. And he said, wait, can you give me like 48 hours? So I was like, okay. And at the time, I didn't know that the afternoon drive presenter of that show that I stood in for so often was moving over to KFM. And that means that they were constructing a new afternoon drive show. And that is where I get a call and they say, hey, Carl, we want you to be the permanent sports presenter on the afternoon drive show. And I looked at him like, what is going on? And it was never part of my path. But I said yeses in the right places. And I just got into this thing that became my passion, my calling, and something that I honestly can't live without, radio, but also connecting with people. That's what I love. And that's kind of how that began.
It turns out there's even more in common between us than just a love of 1980s Miami Vice suits.
Yes.
And that... That is, in fact, the similarity is slightly eerie. I'd done a little radio, but I was on UCT radio, and there was a phone call from Cape Talk, and they wanted somebody to come in to be able to see if they had if they needed backup for sort of the Tuesday 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. slot, if the person who was doing it for some reason wasn't available. And I went in and did a sound check, and I was doing breakfast sport the next morning with Martin Bailey. And then spent the next 6 years on Cape Talk. And that was also overnight with no expectation. And you suddenly you find yourself, right, well, I'm here and let's give it a go and have fun with it and see what happens. And I think what that gave me an illustration of, which you now get on a daily basis, is this big village that is Cape Town, where you become an incredibly powerful voice and a friend to the people who will every single day, I have no doubt, walk up to you. And you've never met them before, but they know that they know you because you're Carl and they listen to you every day.
Yeah.
And there is a friendship, a sense of kinship that the airwaves facilitate. People don't always realize it doesn't work both ways, but it's a really special place to be able to have in the heart of a city.
You know, one thing about that you've mentioned over there, and it's annoying to people that I walk with in a mall, and I completely understand, but it's important to me. So you'd be walking with friends, and you'd be stopping often and taking a picture, or you are shaking somebody's hand, or somebody has a comment on your show, or they know you from back in the day, or perhaps they are the cousins of one of your ex-girlfriends. So what you want to do is that you want to stop and listen to them. Because they've stopped and listened to you. And I think that's important for me as an exchange, is that a lot of people in these positions, and I know you know many of them, Dan, they sit there and they know of their power. They know of their voice and how important it is to people. And I think that the power is skewed in entertainment, where everybody will sit there and they realize, you know, this is me. They have to listen to me. I'm a award-winning blah, blah, blah. You know, this is who I am. But those people put you there. So take some time to just spend a moment with them. I know you're in a rush. I know you need to go grab something quickly and you have a busy life. But if someone's willing to stop you and want to capture a moment with you, that means you're that important to them. So why the hell aren't you stopping and just telling them that they are that important to you?
I have a very strict policy. When that happens to me, I get one of my assistants to hand them a signed photograph, obviously making sure there's never any physical contact or eye contact.
Definitely.
And then move on knowing that I've made a difference in that person's life and bettered it considerably as I head back to my luxury vehicle and rarefied air.
I love it. Well, you know what? To each their own. That's how it goes. But I just it's something that's really important to me. And I know I've been told, yo, that's it. Can we just move now? But it's really important just to stop and listen. Because people will recall something I did on air 3 years ago, like it was yesterday. Like, do you remember that time you did this? And I don't remember this because I'm doing shows daily, 6 days a week. But it's just amazing that they can share these little memories with you. And you've been in their car. You have been the build-up to their wedding. You have been on a journey with them to go visit a funeral because their grandfather passed away. Or you've been
with
them.
How was that from the radio from one of the jobs that you did before you got into radio?
Well, you know what?
Carl Wasted the Undertaker for a brief period.
Well, I could have been. Trust me, I worked that many jobs. But the interesting part is that I actually was that person to everybody that came to the video shop. I remember it was the same thing. People shared so many different things with me. I was a 16, 17 year old, but I would get men walking in there saying, ah, marriage, but, or I'd get a woman walking there saying like, ah, oh, I need a movie that's going to make me escape a bit, or it's been a rough day at work. And I'd have a communication with them. I'd have a conversation about what's been going on. And I love that. I think maybe that's was part of the build-up to deciding on psychology is because people had different ways of dealing with different things. And I just wanted to find out if there was a golden thread. And that's where psychology became part of my trajectory, part of my goal.
Part of the readily identifiable nature of your stardom is that there is a particular look, not just the dashing ensemble for which you are well known, but also a rather unique hairdo.
Yeah.
The Mohican has become something of a trademark. How did that come about?
Well, during the toughest times in the beginning of this industry, so even though I got into radio, there was still family responsibilities, and I recall my younger brother went through a very, very tough time. And you know when you get a message from the universe when you need it? And that message was from Jared Leto, 30 Seconds to Mars. There's a song called Closer to the Edge. It was a track about being unapologetically youthful because society is never going to hand out anything to you. And I love that song. And Jared Leto's got a massive pink mohawk in the music video of that thing. And for some reason, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. And I recall starting to grow this thing was just ridiculous. I mean, maybe it still is. I don't know. But it was fun. When I started to grow this mohawk or try to, I recall I had to MC a wedding. It was Vicky Sampson's wedding. And I recall an auntie there. And I was sitting next to this auntie. And she was one of those like fun-loving, Chardonnay-loving aunties. And she looks at me at this wedding, I recall. And she goes like, Mr. Wasty, I have the same haircut. And I'm like, I look at this woman. She's got beautiful long hair. I didn't understand it. And I realized, oh, So that was the beginning of it. But honestly,
this is your target market, in fairness.
Of course, aunties.
Slightly older, Chardonnay drinking.
That's your other show. Anyway, but it started there. It started as a bit of a fun thing. And it just continued being a fun thing. And I know it is a bit of a trademark, but I think it's just one of those little things. While I have the hair, I might as well just make the most of it, you know? And that's why. So, you know, it's amazing how people have this idea of like, oh, you got this mohawk, so what are you trying to prove? Or you get like an older person in the mall, kind of like, you know, who are you supposed to be? You know, those sorts of things. But it's, I think in a lot of ways, maybe it's that little bit of rebellion that it's not about conformity. It's just about, honestly, if you've got something, have fun with it, man. Like, that's just what you should be about. You shouldn't be trying to fit into any mold. And I even recall there was a time where I was thinking about the industry and longevity. And there was an opportunity from a guy who wants to train me up to be a financial advisor. I'll never forget it. It was a time where I was bridging between what's next for me because radio doesn't last forever. And first thing he says to me, you know, I'll train you up free of charge. You can be part of my I got a nice boutique and we do this, this and that, and we'll do that for you. But first thing, just if you shave that off. And I realized in that moment, that's the thing about it. You know, people have this idea of what is professional, what is a certain look for a certain thing. And I think that's the problem with a lot of us, is that we have these ideas of what things should be and shouldn't be. And we impose those ideas onto people who just want to express themselves. And I think that's where a lot of that expression gets really, really cut off. And we should be a lot more open to people expressing their individuality.
You're listening to Dr. Carl Wastey on The Dan Nichols Show. Dr. Carl Wastey could have been where it was, but if you go back to those days at Pinelands High,
yes,
and your peers at the time, and you probably get this regularly as now all the Facebook friend requests come in and the ex-girlfriends send in the letters of apology. But when you look at where you are now, how many of your peers, your classmates, your teachers would have expected to find the Carl Wastey that they do today?
It happens all the time. A lot of them. I can't tell you how many of their weddings I emceed. But what I love about it is that the commentary stays the same. A couple of years back, I did my 20-year high school reunion, and I love the fact that people were, this is Carl, like this is what you were in the beginning. We always knew that there would be something. We weren't sure if it was going to be radio or TV or whatever, but there's always that same commentary of just me being in this space. So a lot of people would say to me, like, no, we're not surprised. Like, we knew it was going to happen. We just didn't know where it was going to happen. And I love that about the peers. But the thing that I really love is when they just say, thank you for just staying Carl. And I love the fact that people have felt that. Is that, you know, just not too long ago, I had a caller on the line and she said to me, hey, Carl, it's Karen. I'm like, Karen, I went to school with you. I'm like, oh, my word, it's Karen. And immediately I flowed through all of the things. I remember Karen was very good at hockey. She was such a charismatic person. She was amazing. And I was saying all these things to her on air. And she was so shocked that I remembered every single detail. Because you do know, I'm sure some of your old friends, they think that when you get into an industry where a lot of people know you, that you suddenly get amnesia. I recall an incident where there was a woman and I sat next to her in class, and that was for 4 years in high school. And when I saw her again after, when I got into radio, she looked at me and she goes, hi, Carl. I don't know if you remember me now, but I'm Bianca. I'm like, Bianca? Of course I remember you. I didn't forget everybody. That's not how it works. But I, you know, just to answer your question, I think there's a lot of people that would just say like, oh, that's, we knew it was going to happen. But I think what means more to me is the fact that they can feel that this industry hasn't changed me and what I'm about and what I always have been about, even at school when people were connecting with me or when my peers put me up to be a prefect. That was very powerful as well. I didn't intend on being a prefect at my school, but there was so much push and peer pressure from them to become a prefect that I just decided, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to do something simple and I'm going to do a little thing. And we had to put all of our manifestos up, like, you know, very political. You have to post them up on this little notice board at school. And I recall I just said, hey, you know what, when I'm in Patrick, I would like to facilitate as much fun as possible. Thank you. That's it. I recall that. And I was fortunate enough to become the deputy head boy. But people have just said, thanks for just being Carl. And I don't want any industry to change anybody. Especially not this one, because it's an industry that is synonymous with people changing and forgetting where they come from, forgetting the basics of kindness, the basics of human interaction and connection. Unfortunately, that seems to be thrown out the window when people feel like, hey, I'm important, and I don't like that feeling.
I will often wave at my former classmates as they wait outside the gates when I leave home to get through to the studios. It's an easy one to fall victim to, because suddenly, you know, the world's giving you free stuff and showing you love, and you think you're the most incredible person on earth, and you've retained a very welcome authenticity, which I think is a big part of why people respond to you the way they do.
Thank you.
There must be some things that have changed just a little. I mean, obviously, I can see the Botox, and you've got very, very expensive suit on for its price range. But what I would like to know is when you get to a stage where now you went through tough times, it wasn't easy financially. You were trying to put yourself to university. You were taking taxis into to get to school, to get to lectures. You've now done pretty well for yourself. So is Carl Wastie somebody who does spoil himself a bit? Do you say, well, you know what, actually, I've just done another great month of radio. I've done four or five really great corporate appearances. I've got a little bit of money in the bank. I will spend money on myself. Or are you one of those people who feels a little bit guilty about that sort of thing?
You know, I'll be completely vulnerable. I have financial trauma. It's a big thing. It's a big part of me. And my financial trauma, it comes from what happened to my parents. And it's really changed the way I see money in a lot of ways. So people have this opinion about this industry. But in terms of putting your money into spaces, it's always literally been about rainy days for me, because that's what I went through. And, you know, just even in therapy and talking about it, the financial trauma popped up quite often, because I don't find joy in spending on myself. I will find joy in spending on, you know, somebody else.
Excellent. I'm free to go shopping. The V&A waterfront is right next door.
Oh my goodness.
There's an Alfred Dunhill pop-up I'm quite happy to drop it to.
So when it comes to spoiling myself, like I don't do that as often as I should. And I'll be so honest with you, I don't. But I do try and find ways to make that little reward count. So when it comes to, I love cooking. So if I can grab a Wagyu steak that I could cook at home, that's like my spoil. Or if I could go to a weekend away somewhere special, that's my spoil, experience-wise. But when it comes to anything larger than that, like a new vehicle, I'm still driving the car that I paid off when I was still just out of university. That was big for me to pay off my car, and I still drive my Mark 1 City Golf. And that's also just another reminder of just, I paid for that car. I worked so hard for it. It took me 5 years to pay for that thing. I paid mostly interest before I got to any of the capital. And I drive it with so much pride still. And a lot of people question it. They look at me like, you work on radio. You do this, you do that. Now, where's the luxury vehicle? But it's never been part of my... It's sort of self-actualization journey. That's never been part of that.
It's slightly refreshing that one of the biggest stars in Cape Town has as his luxury ambition a weekend in an Airbnb in Fishhook.
Yes. That's the one. There are some good ones. I saw one in Noordhoek the other day. Absolutely beautiful. But that's just the thing. And when you do have a bit of that financial trauma, and that's what I'm trying to work through, it's just about being okay with making an investment into something that is not going to keep you safe. That's the problem. Every investment that you made in your past, if you do have financial trauma, is going to be based on something keeping you safe. What really you have to break out of is saying that it is okay, it's going to be okay, and it's okay to invest in this particular activity. Go overseas, Carl. Go watch your favorite team, Real Madrid, at Santiago Bernabeu. Why not? Go for it. Do that. And I think that's the type of thing that I'm working through slowly but surely. But if you were to ask me, if I were to shake all of that and do something, it would be doing a little bit of an overseas trip. You know, I love a bit of travel. I've done London and Spain, and my brother lives in Dubai, which I loved so much. I would go and do an overseas trip, definitely. But at the same time, I think my dream is to invest in an Airbnb in Fishhook.
I've got people who can help you.
Thank
with
you
this.
So much.
We'll make this happen. I watched last year Jude Bellingham score in the 87th minute, get the winner against Barcelona in El Clasico. It is one of the most electric moments I've experienced in sport. I think Forbes has you as the ninth wealthiest entertainer in South Africa at the moment. You can more than afford this. Do it. There is no, I'm hugely fortunate. I get to travel extensively, but there is nothing that rewards quite like travel.
I completely agree. And that's exactly what I need to do. And I haven't done it for a while. Last year in April, I went to go visit my brother in Dubai. But I do want to go back to the Santiago Bernabeu. I haven't been there since it got revamped. So that's why I need to go see it. But just, I was there before, and I watched a Champions League match between Real Madrid and PSG. And I recall...
That's pretty special.
But I recall what I really wanted for local football. I wish we were like that for local football. I wish we got excited about football the same way we do about rugby, where we can start partying at 10 a.m. The match is at 7 p.m., but we can start getting into the streets clad in our regalia and our just supporters gear, etc., and just going to connect with each other. That's what I loved. I loved in Spain, it was so good to see people in the streets hours before the time, connecting, communicating, sharing. It was really, really a beautiful sight. And I, in that moment, and I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, I just felt like, wow, I wish that was here. I wish we walked to Cape Town Stadium and we had a good time on the strip, and then we went to go watch a game, and then we had a good time thereafter. Because that atmosphere, meeting people from everywhere, and they didn't really care who you were. They were just like, they spoke to you in Spanish first, and then you had to say, no, I'm from South Africa. And then they'd say, South Africa, yeah. So at the time I went, there was a drought here. So
and that's what
all
they knew about.
All they said was, no agua, no agua, no agua. But from all sorts of places in Europe and everywhere, it was really cool. So I will make you a promise now that I will invest in some travel time. I need to. But it's just about getting past those little things that, based on my story, and I told you just a little bit of it, it's about getting past those things. It's about investing in an experience, but not investing particularly into something that you think, oh, this is going to make me safe. If I lose my job, I'm going to be okay. And I think that's a trauma that's been exacerbated by being in radio, because you've seen people walk in, walk out, walk in, walk out, get fired, get rehired. It's so insecure. And I think that's also hasn't really done anything for me in terms of feeling that security to invest in something.
Also because, yeah, effectively nobody's really listening to radio. They're all listening to podcasts now. So you're a dying breed, Carl Westy, but make the most of it while you can.
You know, there was actually a young person the other day that told me, you know what we should do? We should do a live podcast. So I was like, really?
It's called radio. It's
called, yeah. Thank you. Crazy.
Look, we are able to sort out the overseas travel part for you because we're about 200 yards from the Robben Island ferry terminal.
Yes.
So overseas trip beckons, and that's all on the Dan Nicholls Show budget.
Thank you so much.
We roll that way.
Love it. I love it.
It's a space that you probably never imagined being in, certainly not in the exact nature thereof, but you've worked really hard to get to where you are now. Is it that I'm just loving what I do when I wake up every morning, or is some of that planning for the future, some of that that anxiety that sits beneath the very well manicured visage, that what's next? What should I be planning for? Are there still things that Carl Westy hasn't done from a professional perspective that said they're going, yeah, is this the year I make my movie, that I audition for a soap opera, that I take the step into opera singing? Are there those things that are still out there to be done?
Definitely. A lot of people, when they chatted to me before, they were just saying, like, why don't you have your own thing? And I never knew what they meant until I watched people in the industry do their own thing. So the next thing definitely is to create some sort of a passive income opportunity that is based on my own thing. So I know you say Airbnb and fishing, but it is actually one of my little dreams to have like a couple of those pods out in a beautiful farm somewhere in the Western Cape with a wood-fired hot tub attached and solar off-the-grid type of thing. Because that's what I look for when I want to go on a weekend away. And I always wanted to say, I would love to own one of those. So that's kind of one of the things that I would love to invest in. The other thing is just the wellness branding is something that I've been just playing with in my mind, just on my wellness journey and playing with different things and different, like, collagen powders and protein powders, etc. I'd love to create in that space in some way, just to make sure that there is something when people say you should do your own thing. That's kind of what they mean, as in not merchandising, like get yourself some whey protein. Don't worry, that I took that off the table. It was an idea. Who knows? Maybe after this podcast, someone's going to, hey, what about that idea? You should do it. But it is diversifying the portfolio a lot more. And it is about breaking out of that financial trauma a little bit more and saying and being a little bit bolder in my choices in that space. So if you're asking me what my next thing is, I do love the idea of even international radio. I do love the idea of doing some branding within whatever product space I can get into. And then ownership of little, like the properties that I would like to book for a weekend away and doing just like 3 pods on a beautiful wine farm, fully serviced, off the grid vibe. Like that's kind of the 3 things that I would love to get into.
It's got the makings of a Hallmark movie, which I shall happily fund and produce.
Thank you so much. You've got the right team here.
I don't, actually. Oh, but we'll find the right one.
Sorry.
Before we do let you go, because you have airwaves to graze. Radio is the space with which so many people have come to know you, fall in love with you. You're a part of their day. Of all of the moments, and there are so many, so it's a hell of a difficult question, but is there one you can pick where that sums up to you, this is why I do what I do. This is why it makes it so special to wake up in the morning and know, you know what, today I'm Carl Wastey on KFM and I am doing radio.
You're right, there's so many moments. There are 18 years of moments that I've enjoyed. There've been entertaining moments where you've had a guest on and I've had to sing to a singer, like I sang to Neo. It never happened again. He almost didn't do his concert here. That was one of them. But honestly, the moments that really get me up in the morning are the moments where you just find someone that really needs you and you're able to help them. It's the most beautiful thing. Recently, we had a winner in one of our competitions. And the whole idea was for me to go visit them and kind of blindside them with a big check for something. And often you do get people, and I need to say this, sometimes people are competition entrants professionally, and they will grab whatever money you've got. And it's not often that you find someone that really, really needs it. And that makes my soul so full. And I visited this lady. She stayed out in Brackenfell. And she literally lived between the gap between a garage and a house. And I walked in there and she still was so positive because 3 of her kids stayed. They had a double bunk and a little double bed and everybody slept in that little corner. You turned around, you were almost at the front door. I couldn't believe she was making it work. And she was keeping her kids happy. Everybody was smiling. She was smiling. I walked in there and it was the most beautiful thing that I got a connection to this woman who really needed me in that moment. And we were able to give her 50,000 rand. And then there was another element of the competition where you could win a further 100,000 rand and she won it. And that was just like the universe speaking and just saying, this is exactly why I do what I do. I do it in this moment. I do it for the people that have asked me to MC their weddings. They don't know me, but they know me. They listen to me. I've been part of their and their fiance's journey throughout the entire relationship. And they said, hey, come, like we're going to do something next year, March, please do it. And I'll say yes. And now you're part of their life forever. I think that's the golden thread, really, is that if you make the most of those interactions, that's what really makes radio just so special. And the best part of my job is that every day I don't wake up like, don't forget who I am. I'm Carl Wastey, da, da, da. No, I wake up because I know I can be of service at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, Monday to Friday, or I can be of service 10 a.m. on a Saturday, or whenever you give me an opportunity, I get to be of service. Someone needs me. Someone's boss pissed them off. Someone went through a breakup. Someone lost a family member. Someone just needed a good song, and I can be there for them. Having to have an opportunity to be on a platform where you can satisfy so many of those needs for that audience, that is what you should be doing radio for. There's nothing self-indulgent about it. It is, in my opinion, the last true medium is radio.
I suggested a little earlier in jest that nobody was listening to radio anymore because they were all listening to podcasts, principally mine. I think you've summed up exactly why that's not the case and why radio is not going anywhere soon, because it is that sense of community and that sense of immediacy that gives it the power that it does. Yeah. But that power only works when it's in the right hands. And even if those are slightly smaller hands that use a suspicious amount of moisturizer, they have an incredible impact.
And you have done exactly that. Carl, this has been an absolute delight. We shall have to do it again soon when you get back from your overseas trip or your weekend in Fishhook or whatever these dreams comes along next. But thank you, because I think I cut my teeth in media and radio.
Yeah.
And I know how much fun it is, but I also know what goes into making it look as effortless as you do. And that is an awful lot of work, a little bit of trauma, and a long stint working in a video shop. And I think you managed to nail all of those. I still think your true calling was working in that video shop, but I think you've made radio as an alternative come through okay.
Thank you so much. I didn't even mention my first job was Chico the Clown at the Spur, but okay, I'll leave it there.
That'll be when Dr. Carl Wastey joins us for episode 2. Lighting up the Dan Nicholls Show this week. He's had an extraordinary journey, lots of hurdles to overcome, lots of different jobs along the way, but eventually found the one that many, many, many Cape Townians are delighted he has and are hoping he won't give up for many years to come. His dreams of running an Airbnb in Fishhook notwithstanding. On the Dan Nicholls Show this week, KFM's Drive host superstar, Carl Wastey.
You're listening to the Dan Nicholls Show.